Let's begin our worship. And I'm going to just read a few verses from the start of the book of Isaiah, which is partly prophecy and partly history. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne. This is Isaiah speaking. High and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. There wasn't some heavenly smoke machine, but we know from the Old Testament that that shaking of the ground, an earthquake and smoke, is a sign of the presence of God. And Isaiah said, "Woe to me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Let's just pray.
Morning, and nice to welcome you too to our service together. This is a healing and wholeness service, so we'll be having a time of ministry at the end of the service. I'm not sure how that's going to be, but we trust the Lord will lead and guide. And if you come under conviction of the Holy Spirit, you need prayer for anything, whether it's physical, emotional, whether it's spiritual, then that's what today is all about. So don't live in fear. Live in faith and believe that God will do what he says he will do, and that is to minister to us. And talking about ministry, let's just turn to the Word of God. I want us, first of all, to look at Isaiah chapter 53, and just a couple of verses there, Isaiah 53 and verses 5 to 6. Very familiar words these are, speaking of course of Jesus, and it gives us insight as to what Isaiah conceived at that time, what he saw, what he sensed, and what actually came true about 700 years later. Amazing, isn't it? Verse 4 says, "Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds or by his stripes we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray, each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth." May the Lord help us to visualize the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amidst the confusions of life, the ups and downs of life, what goes on around us, it's good that we look to him as we've been led this morning, to the Holy God, and to recognize Jesus on the cross, giving it all for us. His life for our life. He who had no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. What a wonderful privilege it is to live in the righteous standing of God today, if we believe. So that's Isaiah 53. Now, as a test, we're going to 1 Peter chapter 2. That's in the New Testament. I say a test because it's a book that's hidden away, just a little book there. The first letter of Peter. And I shall be referring to these verses. 1 Peter chapter 2, and reading from verse 20. And this is Peter speaking. The church then was really suffering persecution, suffering in all sorts of ways, suffering for the name of Christ. So many people today are suffering for the name of Christ. I heard on the radio this morning about a little church in Iran meeting and extolling the virtues of Christ, but in secret because of the Iranian regime. People like that who are experience real blessing in their persecution. And we pray for them, but I guess they're praying for us too, that we might realize how blessed we are to come and to worship in freedom, without persecution, without armed guard knocking on our door and asking us what we're up to. But this church was suffering in a very similar way. They were persecuted. So Peter says in verse 20 of chapter 2, 1 Peter, "How is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing good and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threat. Instead, he entrusted himself who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, by his stripes, you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." And one final verse from Paul's letter to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is well known, often used at weddings. A friend of mine yesterday, his daughter was getting married. No doubt this is the reading that they would have. But there's a verse at the end that kind of highlights what I'd like us to consider this morning. Paul says in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 13, "Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see him face to face. Now I know in part, and then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." It's just that little verse there that says, "For I know in part." You know, we all view life differently. We view the world around us differently through the experience that we go through. Having done, sadly, a number of funerals and very few weddings, speaking to the family beforehand, you know, when people are facing a real challenge, the one thing that they're affected by is the deep emotions at that time. And there are folk here that have suffered bereavement. And you know what it's like to face the world after that. The world does look different. And we view life differently. We view our faith differently. And so when it comes to thinking about healing and wholeness, and as we look at the world around us and we see things differently according to our experience, our faith is always going to be on the line. You know, our faith can be weakened by disappointment when God doesn't seem to do what we say or ask for. When others let us down of faith and we feel weakened by that. Or there are times in our lives when we reach those mountaintop experiences where we sense our faith is really strong and we could literally walk on water. I don't attempt that you do that, unless the Lord tells you to. It'd be a wonderful experience, I'm sure. But I think the most important thing, particularly when we come to a meeting like this, is that our faith is genuine. whether it's weak, whether it's strong, that it's a genuine faith. Peter writes in that first letter of 1 Peter, he said that our faith is greater worth than gold or silver. Our faith is greater worth than any possession that we may have. But none of us can claim we have all the answers when it comes to healing and wholeness. Like Paul, we know in part. We know from our own experiences whether we've experienced God's healing or not. But I want to look at this in a kind of balanced way this morning. I remember I used to meet for prayer Assemblies of God minister every month in his little chapel. He would bring breakfast and I would bring myself. Kind of a nice arrangement. And I struggled with him sometimes because he would always say that sickness had come from the devil. That all sickness comes from the devil. Now we know the enemy is against us. We know that we have a battle to face when the devil comes against us. To a certain extent, he's partly true because look what happened to Job when God gave permission to the devil to do what he did to Job. But that was all about Job's life in his doctrine, and at the end of that lovely book of Job, we discover that I'd heard of you, Lord, but now I've seen you. He'd learnt from his experience with God through suffering. Yes, the enemy is at work, and those are affected by it, are oppressed, depressed, and find that they're in a battle that only Jesus has won. Secondly, I've met and I've mingled with what I call the miracle mongers. Those that believe he's just going to have faith to be healed and you will get well. A friend of mine often said this, and there's truth in that as well, I believe that. But that's not the whole story, because it condemns people that think, well, I've got faith and I've not been healed. What does it do for their faith? Remember a friend of mine, he was at a healing service. And he really felt God speak to him about praying for a man that was sat in the front in a wheelchair. So people can get it wrong. He went over and he said, I want to pray. I believe God's going to heal you. And the man said, well, I've got metal legs. Did he hear from God? You see, a lot of things are said in Christendom that are not really true. And are not really of God at all. And that's why I want to bring a balance for you this morning. Because we must not distort God's intentions when it comes to our lives, when it comes to healing and wholeness. We only know in part. This is an imperfect world we live. We're living in a fallen world, but one day in eternity we see him face to face and all will become clear. And I think that's something that we can look forward to. So two thoughts this morning to leave with you. First of all, God's intention for healing through Christ and God's intention of healing with Christ. You know, if we went out in the street today and asked people what they thought of Jesus, I wonder what sort of answers they would give us. Some might say, well, he was moral. He was a teacher. He was a good man. He was a do-gooder, like most people that go to church. I say most, not everyone. He was a revolutionary. He was somebody that did something that others didn't do. Didn't he do some miracles? All sorts of reasons and what they think of Jesus. And even some today within Christian circles that Jesus came to heal. But actually, Jesus did come to heal, but not in the way that so often one thinks. So let's just consider these thoughts for a moment. When the Hebrew writer said, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Jesus came to die. He was the only one on this earth that came with the purpose of dying. We all die, of course. But he came with the purpose to die. Because as the Hebrew writer says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the majesty of God. He came to set people free. So when it comes to healing, we must understand that healing is a spiritual healing, and when we are redeemed by the great Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, he has brought us back for God. We who were afar off have been brought near through the cross of Jesus. And that's why salvation is so important today. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. Healing through Christ is healing of the soul. You see, it's the soul that lives on, doesn't it? In fact, we read in Ecclesiastes that the spirit that God gave returns to him. That's what happens when we die. And this body of ours that we look after, well, most of us do, is just an embodiment of who we really are. Our soul is precious. And the salvation of the soul is vital when it comes to spiritual healing. We are released from bondage, from captivity of sin, and we be born again into the light of Christ. We see the world differently. We see the lost outside of God as those that we pray for. Paul says in Galatians 5, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Free from sin, free to believe, to free that God is for us, not against us. To know that we have a God who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or think. To know that we have the Holy Spirit in us to guide us and to teach us each day and to reveal things of God to us. To teach us about the future, dare I say. This is all healing, surely. I love a verse that we find in Colossians 1. He says this, we are rescued. I don't know if you've ever been rescued at all. But we've been rescued from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. This is what it is to be a believer. You see, the Bible speaks about a Christian, but it speaks a lot more about discipleship. We've been on about that for some time, about growing up in Christ, to grow in the grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that verse in 1 Peter that speaks about by his stripes we are healed, what he's meaning is, by his stripes on the cross, we are healed spiritually. We now have new lives. We have the righteousness of God to live out Christ in our lives. And I believe that when we consider salvation as part of healing and wholeness, we begin to see what God has for us in glory. Now we read in John 17, where Jesus prays for his disciples. And he simply says that you have given them eternal life. Friends, I want to appeal to you this morning. Coming to church doesn't make us a Christian. We know that. Being together is about hearing what God has to say to you, to your soul. That Jesus is calling you even now to say yes, Jesus. Turn away from a life of sin, a life of ordinariness, to a life of joy and satisfaction in him. So when Paul says, I know in part, that's the limitations that we know, but it's something that we experience now. Hallelujah. The life of Christ in us, the hope of glory in our heart. That's God's intention through Christ. But what about God's intention with Christ? I mean, is it a play on words? No, it's not, I don't think. If you Google, does God heal today? The answer is yes. Even on the Baptist website, they say yes. And I recall two very clear occasions. Where we lived in Salisbury, a couple moved in to a property beyond our fence in our back garden. And he was an ex-Arsenal footballer going back many years. He'd broken his leg and he'd suffered debilitating circumstances ever since. But he was taken really quite poorly. He was taken to hospital. And because he was a neighbour, he wasn't very popular because he brought a whole bunch of pigeons. And he wasn't allowed to do that, really. Although the pigeons would come around at a certain time of day and just fly around and go back again. They were very organised pigeons. But anyway, that's beside the point. But people turned against him. And I thought, no, I'm just going to go and see him. So I went into Salisbury Hospital and I made myself known to him. And he clearly was in a bad state. And you know what you do when you see somebody in hospital and say, we'll pray for you. So I said, we'll pray for you. And had a bit of a chat with him and went away. And I came down to the second floor. And I really believe the Holy Spirit said, you haven't done enough for this man. You need to pray for him. I thought, You see, sometimes it's not easy for praying for people that we don't really know. Anyway, so I went back upstairs and I just said to him, do you mind if... No, he said, that's fine. And I asked that God would minister healing. Now, that man was healed. His situation was totally reversed. And he said to me, when you prayed for me, I felt a wonderful sense of warmth and sensation come all over me. Now, this man wasn't a Christian. This man had never entered a church before. But God chose to heal him. You see, if we see things from an eternal perspective, then we'll see how God actually does his work and ministry in people that we don't expect for a reason that he knows and we don't, because we only know in part. So it's important to pray for healing. Jesus prayed for healing, but he didn't pray for everyone. And not everyone was healed. But the second occasion was a fellow minister who rang me and said, I've been given the diagnosis of shingles. Well, if anyone's had shingles, you know what it's like. And I, again, went to minister to him with a lack of faith. And I just simply prayed, Lord, heal this man. And amazingly, he was healed. Now, I don't hold any special gifts at all. But we must believe that God is in the business of ministry of healing. But not everyone is healed. It's not to do with your faith. It's not to do with your lack of attending church or lack of prayer or lack of reading the Bible. It's because God has a divine plan that only he knows. Because we only know in part. So we ask the question, why am I not healed? Now here's the question. It's a very interesting and it's very true we ask that question. Remember once somebody saying, why doesn't God heal me? And that person was, as far as I was concerned, never healed, had much prayer. And then one Sunday, this person gave a testimony. She said, I used to ask God why, but I asked God what next. People like John Wimber and others, great men of faith, they weren't healed. And others that we've looked up to in the past, they simply died. But I think the key about the healing with Christ is this. As Paul says in Colossians 3, he said, or in Ephesians 1, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be opened, that you will begin to understand the hope which you are called. Colossians 3 says, to set our hearts and minds on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. You know, not on earthly things, momentary things, but on those eternal aspects of God's kingdom. And so I would say, as believers this morning, and maybe those that are on a journey to discovery, it's not about looking at our lives from our own perspective, but looking at our lives from God's perspective. And we say, well, hang on a minute, this is getting too complicated. If it's too complicated, then please have a word with Joy after. To see things from God's perspective is important when we hear what he is saying about healing. And learning to know the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's tuning our inner ears to hear what God is saying. I know that you've had ministry in the past about hearing from God and knowing his voice. But knowing that we are redeemed and have faith to live in that redemption, we have that sense that God is able to speak to us at any time of day or night. For some of us, God does speak at night time when we are still. The problem in life generally, we're not still enough to hear his voice. Other voices crowd out his voice. I know Sam a few weeks ago spoke about young Samuel, and when he heard the Lord speaking, and he didn't know that it wasn't the Lord, he thought it was Eli. See, God will speak in a very familiar voice at times. That sense, that nudge, that indication that God is wanting to say something to us is about tuning our minds not to the things of this world, but to the things of heaven, to the things of God. You see, in Ephesians 2, it says this, to those of us who recognize that we're saved, and God has raised us up with Christ, and he has seated us with him in heavenly places. Now, we might say, well, that, I don't feel that I'm seated in heaven. I'm very much seated on this earth. But in a sense, spiritually, we are, because we've been raised. Our hearts have been raised. Our minds have been raised. We've been encouraged to think about the things of God and the purpose of God through his word, because his word is living and it's active and it's sharp as any double-edged sword. We're able to see things and hear things that people outside of God can't hear. That's why other people's opinions of our life are not important. It's not our opinion about things either. What is God saying? I think that's our message, and I know it's Joy's message for us. We do what God says. Not a good thing, but a God thing, if you see what I mean. Paul says in Philippians 2, let this mind, that mind of Christ, be in you. Your attitude should be the same as Christ. Oh, if only. If only that mind of Christ perforated through us more and more and more, to see things as he did, to recognize that he suffered for us, that we might have life, a life to the full, or life superabundant. So when Paul says we know only in part, at least we have a better understanding of the things of heaven. Through salvation, through the voice of God, all of this is healing. All of this is healing. Healing of the soul, healing of the mind, listening to God rather than listening to the world makes a massive difference. If you watch the news, that news will be so negative because bad news is newsworthy. But it's good news. And it's the good news of Jesus that makes the difference to our thinking and our position in this life. To have a better understanding of the things of God is so important when it comes to healing. Is it God's will to heal? Yes. Is God going to heal you? I know only in part. But we must pray that and believe that. Paul says, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away. Well, that's true, isn't it? Yet inwardly, and this is the point I'm making, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. It's that inner healing that makes the difference to the way we see the world around us. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us. Notice that. are light and momentary troubles. What we go through in this life, the suffering maybe that some folk go through, and God hasn't healed, but they go through it because they know that they are being renewed, because their light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. This is what Paul said. He saw the future glory as being so great that his present sufferings paled into insignificance. God heals today. But God's intention through Christ, and in God's intention with Christ, is for people to be healed wholly, to have their soul healed, restored in Christ, to have their mind healed so they see things differently, having the mind of Christ, to see Him in His glory, to have that vision that Joy read from Isaiah 6, that vision of God. I mean, it is not unusual for people to have a vision of God. There are people that have visions of Jesus, particularly in persecuted countries. I think we're only taking just a part, you know, friends. And we need to take the whole picture of God. We need to embrace everything that God wants to do in His heart, in His church, and in our lives. One final verse I'm going to leave with you. And it may not sum up what I'm trying to say here, but it kind of indicates we only know in part. In Psalm 119, there's 176 verses. It's worth reading them. If you're watching Wimbledon next week, just pick that up and read that at the same time. Verse in Psalm 119, I won't tell you which one it is, so you can find it yourself. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Sometimes an affliction, an illness, can draw us closer to God. There are those that testify to the fact that they have suffered serious illness, but it brought them closer to God. Because it's not always healing that causes us to come closer to God. There are some that have been healed that have simply turned away from God because they don't need God. There are others that have found that God has just ministered to them where they are. So God's intention for healing through Christ is salvation. That's healing. And if we don't know Jesus as a personal Savior, today is the day of salvation. Today is the accepted time. This is your day. Or maybe you are a Christian and have been a Christian for many years, but some of the things I've been saying is quite new to you. Having a mind of Christ. Knowing that we are the righteousness of God, that sin has been dealt with once and for all, that we have a new being, a new soul. The Hebrew writer says that Jesus died for the remission of sin, the removal of sin, that we become the righteousness. Of course, we sin and we fall and we fail. We live in a fallen age. But as believers, we stand in righteousness. God's intention through healing through Christ, God's intentions with Christ, with us, for us, to do what He wants to do at any time He chooses. And may that be our heart and our will to respond to Him this morning. Do you know Jesus? Is this the day you meet with Jesus? Do you need to grow more like Him? Do you need help in that way? Do you need healing of mind, body, and spirit? Then today is the day of healing. May God help us to really grasp what He is saying to us this morning as we respond to Him. Let's just pray for a moment and we'll